Connor Breakfast Show.
6 to 9.
6 to 9.
On Smile 90.4 FM.
It's back by popular demand, folks. Queen, It's a Kind of Magic returned to Cape Town. Overwhelming demand. Queen's greatest hits and rock anthems. And it's performed by a man who looks for me like I can see Freddie. I can see it in him. And when you see this gentleman on stage, and when you see him become Fred on stage, you are blown away. Ladies and gents, it's a great privilege this morning to welcome to Smile FM, Warren Vernon Driscoll. Good morning, sir.
Thank you for having me. Woo! It's good to be here.
You are, I mean, you've got such an impressive CV. I mean, you're a talent that's wanted everywhere in the world, and not just for your performances, Freddie, but just for your performance and your skills and your craft and your art. Let's take you back to the beginning. Where were you born and raised? Because we can hear that's a South African accent, even though we know this is an Australian or international show. Tell us about where did you grow up?
Jeez, that made me feel really good. Thank you. But yeah, I funny enough, I was born in East London, okay. Eastern Cape, at the Freer Hospital.
Sure.
And then, I grew up mostly in KZN though, okay. At boarding school and stuff. I was at the Drakensberg Boys Choir for a couple of years.
Yes.
And then I finished at Kearsney. Then I moved to Cape Town about 10 years ago.
Right.
And I've been living here ever since.
Tough place to live, hey?
To be fair, it is quite rough, hey? But I've been living here for a while now, and I used to gig around here on the scene, play all the clubs here in my little indie band, and acoustic guitar, busking, and that kind of thing to pay rent. And then, we got this, I got the show, and we've just been everywhere since. I mean, during COVID, we had to base ourselves in Australia, because obviously we were locked down here the whole time. It's just been it's an amazing experience so far.
And the ensemble is just incredible. They found the best of the best. They put you all together in terms of the expertise that everyone brings to the table. The show, and it's a tough thing to try and immerse yourself in somebody who was so grand, who was so big and larger than life. And then 9 to 5, or you wake up in the morning and you wake up, you're Warren. And then throughout the course of the day, you're Warren, and then you become this larger than life person.
Well, firstly, about the band, funny enough, the drummer, Michael Dickens, and myself, we started our first band in high school together. So he was at the Drakensberg Boys Choir with me, so we were friends from grade 5.
Amazing.
So we've spent the many years playing together. Rusty plays Brian May.
Rusty Red,
we met him in high school as well as a guitarist. We didn't play in the same band as him, but he was a prolific blues guitarist in another band. So we've known each other for many years before we even started playing together. And then Andre, who plays John Deacon, we met him here in Cape Town on the band scene too. So we knew each other for a couple of years before we started playing together. But to answer your question about becoming Freddie, I always say there's only ever going to be one Freddie Mercury. Mm. That's really important because I'm a diehard fan, and it makes me angry when people try and think they can be him.
Yes.
So, which is funny because that's my job.
Yeah.
But I always say I do it in the way I can relate to him best, which is by, singing in the right key, giving as much energy on stage, using mannerisms and stuff like that.
Yes.
But there's still a little bit of me on stage that shines, because at the end of the day, I'm not him.
Yes.
So it's just a healthy balance, I think, between the two. That's how I try and explain it all the time.
And that pays beautiful homage to the memory of him. And I think for a lot of people, that escape where it is you, but you're giving the best ever a kind of tribute to a man and a legend, that you want to kind of leave that so that if I'm coming along to watch it, I as much as I love to see Warren, I also want to feel like like I'm getting some of Fred, and I'm getting some of what the essence of his persona was, and that you nail, and you really do smash it out the park. You're performing. Do you get a bit of a break over this period? Does the show kind of a go?
I'm a musician. No. I get a break in January, maybe. But this year is quite this December is quite busy, because we've got the 9th happening now, which we're really excited about.
Yeah.
Then I've got a couple of days off, and then on the 20th we go to Durban for three shows.
Yeah.
And then on the 27th, I fly to Australia for a two New Year's gigs. So like leading up to New Year's.
No way.
And then I fly back on the 1st. So
so in between all of the of everyone else, all your friends and family celebrating, you're on the road with a show.
Yeah, I'm either on the road or playing PlayStation. One of the two.
Warren, tell me about the moustache. Is it in the contract?
You know what? It's an unspoken contractual agreement.
Yes.
Because if I rocked up without a moustache, I think everyone would be like, what's going on?
Where's it?
Yeah, where's it? Who are you?
I wouldn't recognize you.
Exactly. But it is mine.
It's yours.
I've grown it and I'm proud of it.
You're rocking it and it looks pretty cool. Next year's going to be a busy year as well. You don't stop. I mean, it carries on.
So from April next year, we've got probably our biggest tour ever in Canada. So it's about, we've got 40 shows in Canada starting in April. Amongst other countries, but at the moment that's the biggest one that we're gearing up for. Because it's pretty much when we go on tour, it's pretty much a different city every night.
Because
we just get in the bus and we travel to everything. So it's going to be an intense one. But we've got a little bit of time before that to chill out.
Which audiences have been the most receptive? And it's tough because I know that everywhere you go, you're taking the magic that is the music of Queen with you. So you know which are the songs, because we all know the songs, because we've all seen. And if we're fans, we've got the DVDs. We've seen, the songs that have the crowds all clapping together or dancing or jawling together. Are there crowds out there that come and watch that, like, and I don't want to, single out, like, say, the Germans, for example, they take a while to get in. They take a while to get into the
Queen. I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it.
But I'm doing it.
I think, well, first of all, last year's show in Cape Town was probably my highlight of my whole tour. Like, that was, number one, our biggest crowd we ever had. Before that, it was Christchurch, which was 2,200 people. Mm-hmm. But, 5,300 people last year, I think it was.
Sure.
And that was like... it was just so special being at home and having that much support, because we've been doing it for a couple of years, and being able to bring it home and have that support was so special for us. But having said that, everywhere you go, it's funny, even in the country, in different cities, different songs get people more excited. One day you've got someone that loves We Will Rock You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they sing it with you, but then the next show they don't sing We Will Rock You with you, but they'll sing Hammer to Fall. And it's just interesting, because everywhere you go, everyone's got that Queen song that relates to them.
Yes.
And it's quite amazing to watch, because on stage you can see the faces and you can see who responds to what, essentially.
Yes.
But yeah, that's always an interesting one.
Follow us on Instagram
@ Ryan O'Connor Breakfast Show.